Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, here are your hosts, Pia LaBeige, Justin Tyler, and Alex Salbin.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And that's our man of the booth, Boothman. His real name is James.
What?
Yeah.
Don't get that's a huge spoiler.
What's your address? Boothman.
What did you just do?
Yeah, what's your address?
You
just really quickly. Oh, his address is the booth. I'm sorry. I had a moment.
What's going on here?
Pulling back the curtain.
Can we talk for a little bit? Hey, we were talking before the show.
Alex is real hot tonight. He's
as we
real
do.
Hot.
What's your real name?
I honestly don't know at this point.
Brian Bendis.
Surprise. I like writing dinner scenes.
A different Brian Bendis.
Oh, okay. I also like writing dinner
yeah,
scenes.
No, I've read your plays, your series of one-act plays.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah. No, we were talking before the show, as we like to do, because we're friends.
Sounds like a lie when you say that, but sure.
And Pete was complaining about Spider-Man, as he does all the time.
All the time. Even off mic, ladies
right.
and gentlemen.
And for those of you who haven't been paying attention, for those of you tuning in for the first time, Spider-Man... His brain has been taken over by Dr. Octopus. Pete is pretty upset about it.
Right. Yeah.
So, Pete, what were you insisting to us?
Well, I was just saying that, like, it drives me nuts that nobody can tell that it's Doc Ock with the way he talks. Like, if Zelbin, if you just started talking in a completely different way, using different words, I would think something
if you started
is
doing, like, a bad British accent and saying different words.
Right. If I was like, well, hello.
I think Alex has had a different brain for years now.
Right. But here's what I'm saying is, Pete, if you did something like that, if you started talking in a different way, I'd immediately just shoot you in the face.
Yeah, right. See, that's the
no
right
No hesitation.
Thing to, that's the right thing
I
to do.
I would not wait. I'd be like, that guy is Dr. Octopus right
Yeah, because obviously I'm not who I am.
Right.
So you would shoot me in the face just to be safe.
Is this a confession?
If you stopped even for a second wearing those dirty, disgusting Punisher slippers.
Why are they dirty and disgusting?
Even if you stopped for 1 week to, say, wash them, we would probably shoot you in the face.
Why? Yeah, why don't you think I wash these?
We don't. This is a subtle nod that maybe it's time to wash your stink slippers.
Okay.
All right. This was the last episode of Comic Book Club. Good night.
Just a little laundry. Oh, a little reminder, we're all grown men on this show.
Speaking of grown men, I'm really excited about the grown men that we have on the show tonight.
Yeah.
They are adults. I want to emphasize that.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I'm very pleased
adults.
To welcome to the stage Winston Noel and Daryl Freiberg. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Hello.
All right.
Cirque du Soleil.
Hello.
Greetings, minions.
We're not your minions.
I know. I was doing the Doc Ock thing.
That's good.
Oh, shoot him in the face.
No, that's why we don't
it's
keep
kind of interesting. Yeah, that's why we don't do well. He said greeting minions, and we were like, hello.
Yeah, like, hooray, someone to rule us.
Excellent.
Finally, to give direction in our lives.
We've
so,
just
Winston,
been Doombox.
Welcome back to the show.
Thanks. I love doing the show. I'm always excited to be a part of it.
Well, we are excited to have you a part of us. A part of our world, if you will. Is that too much?
No. A part of us was too much. A part of our world is fine.
Yeah. Well, like The Little Mermaid. We consider this podcast to be sort of the story of us.
Well, the last time I was on, I was wearing this shirt. No joke.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Did you wash it since then?
No. Nope.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah.
And great. It was when Dan Slott was on.
Oh, there we go.
And that was where the rumblings were beginning.
Yeah, that's when
you're
it all
like,
started.
I don't know. And everybody else was like, well,
we know. It's good. Yeah. That was during the New York Podcasting Festival. It was just me and Pete and Dan and Winston. And it got a little heated.
It
got a little weird. But it was...
Pete, I wasn't there, but you yelled at Dan Slott, right?
Right. And then he said he drinks everyone's tears for fun.
Well, that's
okay.
True. That is true. But, Winston, let's talk to you. You're doing a podcast now.
Yeah. Yeah, I've joined the movement.
Yeah. Cool. You sound super excited about
it. I do a podcast.
Welcome to the podcast world.
Thank you. I love doing it. It's a podcast that actually Justin's been on. It's called Hear Me Out. And
we'll stop you there.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Great. It's me and Alden Ford, who has he been on?
Yeah, he's been on the show before.
And we each...
Not as much as you.
Good.
Hold that over his head.
Yeah. We have a guest on, and we each do a song. We talk about a song that we love that everybody else hates, like a guilty pleasure that you're in love with. And so It's really fun.
And let me be clear.
What? Can you give an example?
Yeah, well, I mean, the last episode I did, Desperately Wanting by Better Than Ezra.
Which, let me say, is a great song.
Right. Wait, how does this song go?
I remember running through the wet grass,
falling a step behind, both of us down something, desperately wanting.
Was it?
I have never heard of that song in my life.
By Better Than Ezra.
Is this podcast you guys feeling guilty about how badly you sing that song?
Yeah. Yeah. That's actually the first half of the podcast is we sing the songs, regret it, and then move on. No, we've had your bread and butter. We built this city by Starship.
Well, let's fast forward to the song you chose when I was a guest.
Oh, I don't want to. That was
Five
one of my
Fighting's
worst ones.
Superman.
That was one of my worst ones.
Someone's
clapping in the audience.
One of the worst.
That's
one
the
of
thing
the
that
worst.
We've learned that everybody has one. I mean, everybody has one. There's one song that you love that everyone hates.
Bullshit.
No, and what was Alden's on that one? So mine was Superman.
Night Fever.
Night Fever by the Bee Gees, and yours was Cowboy Mouth, Jenny Says.
Which is a great song.
What?
Jenny Says, turn off the radio. Thank you, audience member.
Yeah. What?
You must love all music.
Oh, so my God. You mentioned Five for Fighting Superman, but I'm curious, are there any superhero themes or comic book theme songs that you would say are guilty pleasure for you?
I mean, that feels
besides,
like...
Besides, yeah.
I mean,
that's a pretty good one.
That's the worst one.
What other? That's it. Yeah.
Okay.
That's great.
You'd be in the first half of our podcast singing it, and then be. Yeah, that's it.
You're singing that too well.
Are there too many?
There's 311.
Actually,
Three Doors Down.
Close. Kiss from a Rose has been on the podcast, which is tangentially
because
superhero
it's from
related.
Batman Returns.
Right.
Yeah. Which is a great video. No, it's Batman Forever.
Was it Forever?
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
it's
even worse.
The video is Seal in front of the bat signal with a shirt open, and then they intercut scenes from the movie. It's like Jim Carrey. Like, there's a great pause when, like, Val Kilmer spins his head around because he can't move his neck, and they, like, freeze it when he's, like, surprised.
I mean, let's be honest. Seal was the most terrifying villain of Batman Forever.
Seal would be an amazing Batman villain.
Yeah. He would be a great villain.
Heidi Klum, like, well, not anymore.
Dara, what about you? Guilty pleasure song or guilty pleasure superhero song?
Not a superhero song, but I guess kind of Wannabe by Spice Girls.
Wow. You just said that out loud. You just said that out loud.
I went to college in the 90s. I sang that song.
Wow, man.
Yeah. And I will not now.
The question was, do you have a superhero song?
You want to sing it. You really, really, really want to sing it.
I absolutely will not.
Good.
Wow.
Good.
Selvin loves that song.
Was there not a Spice Girls? It feels like the Spice Girls would easily go into the comic realm.
In their hit movie, Spice World. They
hit
flew
movie.
Around in a spaceship, I believe, right?
I think it was the regular.
No, I'm remembering the video.
What is your definition of a hit
Thank
movie?
Thank you, Jordan D. White, editor at Marvel Comics, for confirming what the first video off the second Spice Girls album was, in fact, in the video, them flying around in a spaceship. So thank you.
Let's be honest.
I really enjoyed Deadpool,
by the way.
They're
all on surfboards.
Yeah.
But cool. It feels like that would easily jump into comics.
Wow.
Spice
right?
Girls.
Not in a good way.
Speaking crazy. Of jumping into comics...
Yeah.
Daryl.
Yes.
You worked on a comic called The Devil Is Due in Dreary.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about what the idea of the book is?
Sure. So The Devil Is Due in Dreary is a Western thriller, and it's actually based off a screenplay. So my background is as a movie producer, and I got this screenplay, and it was very visual, and I thought it would make a great comic book. So I approached the writer, and he was a huge comic book fan, and we developed it into 4 issues of a comic book, and the trade paperback is coming out in October.
Well, it feels like that's something that's been happening a lot recently, that you almost create something as a proof of concept, almost storyboards in a way. Is that kind of what you were going for there?
It is, but it actually kind of took on a whole other life in and of itself, because initially I was thinking, as a guy from the movie side, oh, it'd be really neat to create a comic book, create a property that people could respond to. But as I created it, I fell in love with this world we invented. And actually going back to the screenplay, it kind of helps us visualize how, I guess in a storyboard sort of way, but visualize how we want the movie to look like and change some of the scenes.
I got to say, I really enjoyed issue 3, especially with the way it opened with a guy pissing on a rattlesnake. Awesome way to start a comic book.
Thank you.
Not an awesome way to start a day, though.
Okay, maybe.
Just so in case you're trying to translate that.
It was at sundown, though, that he was pissing on the rattlesnake.
Ooh, busted. Oh, Pete wakes up at sundown.
Yeah.
Fair enough, then.
Now, right back did you start out as a comic book fan?
I didn't, actually. And,
yeah.
You know, I guess embarrassingly enough here, but...
You started as a Spice Girls fan.
I was born a Spice Girls fan, and I slowly moved into comic books. I was not a comic book fan. I've been, you know, working in the film industry for a long time. But my writer, my creator, is a huge comic book fan. And when I brought up to him the idea of making this into a comic book, he literally was like, hold on one second, dude. And he took a picture, and he emailed me, and it was his shrine to comic books.
Wow.
And his name's David Parkin. And yeah, so he
fell
in love with
shelf
this.
Porn.
Shelf porn?
Mm-hmm. Shelf porn, yeah.
Yeah, that's what they call that in the comic book world.
Oh, I thought we were talking about my shelf of porn. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Busted. Yeah,
we're they here to, also call that
this
shelf
is an intervention.
Porn.
You have too much paper pornography. We need to turn you on to something called the internet. And Pete has a presentation about all the things that he... If you want to just go into a little bit.
Nope. No,
okay,
I don't.
Okay, well, it's just sent to the... We'll post on the fan page all of Pete's links to his favorite spots.
Hey, you guys, check out Pete's links. They're all porn. So what was the adjustment period like taking it from screenplay to comic book form? I feel like whenever you change something, whenever you're approaching a new medium for the first time, you make some mistakes maybe with the first issue, and then you start to figure it out with the second issue and the third issue.
I mean, it was a huge learning curve. First off, we had to, you know, go out and find a publisher. We met with a ton of different publishers, and then when, you know, we finally found a publisher, we needed to find artists. And I needed to learn that, you know, there's somebody who pencils it, somebody who inks it, somebody who colors it, somebody who letters it, somebody who designs
wow, you
knew
it. Nothing about comics.
I just thought that someone sat there and did the whole thing.
Wow.
I'm being completely honest. And so we actually we met with a management company called Space Goat, and we said, at the time, Kickstarter had just started, because this was a few years ago, and I said, I think I can raise, you know, maybe $5,000 on Kickstarter. So I went to this management company, and I said, you know, I have $5,000 to spend, and, you know, they pitched me all these artists, and we had the artists sketch out a bunch of the characters and do a few consecutive pages to kind of see how their transitions worked. I mean, I didn't even know that that's what artists do to pitch themselves, but they do. And we wound up with this fantastic artist named Alan Jefferson. And he's based out of Brazil, and he works in a studio in Brazil, and
wow.
He doesn't speak a word of English, so we would send him notes, and he would translate it into Portuguese, and he had his own inker, this guy Jonas, and we brought on a colorist in Uruguay named Diego.
What an international.
Very international.
Alan Jefferson from Brazil.
Yeah, very Brazilian name.
What was really funny is when we had all these artists pitch to us, everybody's name seemed very foreign, and Alan Jefferson didn't, and when Dave and I were looking at them, Dave was like, well, Alan Jefferson probably lives in California. Dave lives in L.A. He's like, so I could, like, go over to his house and work with him. And it turned out Alan Jefferson was the only artist who actually spoke not a word of English. All the other ones had some proficiency in English.
Alan is a very famous Brazilian name, very popular Portuguese name.
So now that it is a comic book and you're done and you're on the trade, we were talking about this a little bit before, but you're actually going to be going to a bunch of Comic Cons and selling it there. So do you feel like you're more enmeshed in this world now? Do you feel like it's more a comic book, or
yeah,
do you want to bring it back?
In other words, welcome.
I mean, I do feel more enmeshed in this world. It's not something where, I still walk around Comic Cons and I'm, you know, amazed at all these things that probably you guys are a lot more familiar with, but...
Did you mean breasts?
What?
Breasts? I meant women in
elf
outfits.
Why didn't you just say that out of thin air?
Are you guys going to have Justin's links up as well?
I meant body odor.
Very obvious. I post mine on a regular basis.
We've had so much fun doing the comic book, and you know, we'll be in San Diego Comic-Con, and we'll be in New York Comic-Con doing signings, and now we're going to go back and rewrite the screenplay, and you know... The comic book, I've made a few movies, but the comic book is absolutely the thing I'm most proud of because it's just something that I never really envisioned being able to do. And I flipped through these pages. And just a quick, for instance, when we did our Kickstarter, obviously a lot of people who contributed weren't comic book fans, but they were just friends of mine or friends of Dave's who were being nice. And we'd send them the comic book. And we got so many compliments, you know, about the art, about the story. And it just felt great. And I'd like to go and do other comic books at some point.
Did you want to tell us the story of the...
Of Dreary? The
comic? Yeah.
Sure. So basically, the town of Dreary is living in fear of a prophecy that if two strangers pass through the town on a given day of the year, they'll bring along...
it's a Western.
It's a Western, sorry. It's a Western throw. If two strangers pass through the town on a given day, the devil will follow at sunrise and take away the souls of the people of the town. This town has lived in fear for 55 years that this day will happen. And they spend 364 days a year waiting for this day, and then the day comes and no strangers pass through town. But they've been so fearful that phone lines have died, mail has stopped being sent, they stop having kids, so the youngest person in town is this 19-year-old girl.
Wait, they're not getting any mail?
They're not getting any mail.
Jesus Christ.
And computers don't exist in this town.
Fuck. So does someone just stand outside the town and be like, okay, one stranger, okay, second one, no guy, you got to leave.
Sounds like a traffic problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically, nobody's passed through this town. It's become essentially a ghost town, and the people living in fear of their shadows. And on the day of our story...
it's the sort of place where they only get paper porn and not, like, link porn.
No, they don't get mail. That's why I'm...
Oh, they don't even get it.
No, they don't get any
mail. They have to just use the porn that they already have.
Yeah. Wow. That's why they have shelves.
That's a rough town.
It is a rough town. And on the day of our story, two strangers roll into town. Their car breaks down, and the town is like, shit, these are the guys who are bringing along, are going to bring the devil. And the two guys were like, whoa, did we just enter the Twilight Zone? Like, what the hell? Like, we're just passing through town, but a lot of secrets. It all kind of is this countdown to the sun coming up, and as secrets, you know, are unveiled about these guys and some secret money they may have had hidden and some... You know,
secret
stuff
money.
In their past.
I love secret money.
Secret money is the best.
And then we don't know until the very end if the devil might come or not come.
Oh, read the book.
You'll have to read it.
Yeah.
But he does.
The devil is due.
Yeah. No, actually, I don't know. If I wanted to pick up this book, where would I go? What would I do?
So the book, all four issues are available in comic book stores, but we're also launching our website, so you could get a signed copy if you want. The website will be called Conveniently... The Devil is Due in Dreary.com.
Great.
We hope to be launched within a week or two. We're building it. Something else I'm learning about. Building websites.
You're learning so many
Jeez,
things.
You are learning. Yeah, you're like a man.
It's a whole new world.
I know
for
we introduced you as a man, but you just became a man today.
This is my second beer.
Yeah. Oh,
wow. This is basically like your bar mitzvah.
That'll be later.
Oh, yeah. Stay tuned for his bar mitzvah after this podcast.
Oh, we have a new segment where we bar mitzvah. It's really exciting. Line up, everybody.
There we go. All right, guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack. In the stack, we're going to talk about some comic books we particularly like, starting off with Pete's pick, which was BPRD Vampire number 3.
Yeah.
Up 5 from the pages of Hellboy by Mike Mignola, Gabriel Ba, Fabio Moon, and Dave Stewart. Let's move on to Justin's bit.
Wait, what?
Great review.
Well, you've been wanting to talk about this for a couple of months now.
Well, first of all, this is really this issue in particular really kind of gets the heart of things. There's been a lot of build up. You can't say enough about the artwork. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But finally, kind of like the guy who, like, stopped his life to go find this vampire, they finally meet and have at it, and it's a great kind of, like, battle and kind of talk through. So it's...
I love a good talk through.
Well, you know, they got a lot to talk about.
Have you ever seen that Tom Cruise movie, Talk Through with the Vampire? It's really good.
Great stuff.
Oh, man. But please check it out. It's amazing.
What do you think about it, Justin?
I liked it all right. The art is amazing. The story seems a little bit all over the place for me.
Fuck you.
Okay. Very personal reading of this, as usual. But I do think the art is worth it, and I feel like this is a great middle point issue. I feel like the last two are sort of going to bring everything together a little bit. This seemed a little expositional for me. But there's some great... they're just panels that are worth the cover price alone, I thought.
Yep. Yeah. Now, did you guys get a chance to flip through this at all?
Yeah, I flipped through it. The art is unbelievable. I was still going like, I hadn't read the other two, so I didn't know what was exactly going on, but it felt like lots of fighting, cool fighting. And it feels like, is it like Dracula-ish or not? It feels sort of...
Oh, he's just a vampire that lives in a castle and has been, like, he's very old. So it's like Dracula,
that
but it's a different castle.
No,
like
but it seems like Dracula.
It's like a neighboring
Is this a copyright
castle.
Thing? Is this what's happening?
His name is actually Dracula.
Dracula.
It's totally different.
With very a K?
Yeah. Backwards K.
Yeah, that's right.
And you have to wink whenever you say it.
You know, Dracula.
Yeah, I agree with everybody. The art's really good. There's
you
nothing...
agree with everyone? Pete said, fuck you.
I also agree with that.
Yeah.
Gabriel Ba, Fabio Moon, great guys, great art across
great
the board. Great yeah. people.
Yeah. Friends of Alan Jefferson.
There you go. Probably actually.
Probably, yeah, hey. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Play football together.
Which is a huge copyright infringement of football.
Yeah, I'm in big trouble.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. This is not my favorite BPRD story, particularly because the BPRD stuff, I don't know how many of you guys have been reading it, but in Hellboy, BPRD, and all the spinoff series, huge stuff has been happening. For years, you have the Bureau of Paranormal Research and Defense. Is that what they're called?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Yep, that's
and
it.
Hellboy staving off the apocalypse, fighting monsters, and then it happened. The world gets ruined. There's these gigantic monsters all over the place. Crazy stuff is going down in every single issue. And meanwhile, this guy is like, eh, I gotta hunt a vampire.
Yeah, he's hunting.
So it just
but
feels a little bit smaller.
Can't there be a smaller book? Can't there just be a smaller little...
Sure, absolutely. But compared to what's going on in BPRD, Hellboy, and even Abe Sapien, which is a great series that just launched, it feels a little bit smaller.
Well, maybe, you know... People complain about being too big and too... So this is a nice little small
book
for you.
I do not complain about that.
All right, well,
I think we're just the right size.
Yeah.
I agree. I wish there was just a better story here. It's Mike Mignola writing it, so it seems like a little... Like a story that was in a drawer that he pulled out and was like, make it pretty.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
Whoa. He probably said make it pretty, though, right?
He probably called up Fabriel Bob.
Fabriel Bamoon.
And said, make me pretty. I want to be pretty.
Yeah.
I can picture Mike Mignola saying that.
He wears a dress.
All right, let's move on with Justin's pick, which is Wolverine and the X-Men, number 30.
Yeah.
From Marvel Comics, the prelude, prologue to the Hellfire
Don't
saga.
Don't you dare mix up those two similar words.
Yeah.
We've seen the last story arc come to a close and setting up for a huge...
It's so nice that that story arc came to a close,
yeah,
by the way.
It came to an end or a close or a prelude or a prologue.
Either way.
And we're setting up the next one, Hellfire Saga. This is a great classic X-Men setup issue. We see the characters shifting allegiances. It's super exciting. This series is one of my favorites that I pick up every week or every month. And it's time means nothing to me.
Four times a month, you pick up the same issue.
Yeah, and I'm like, still good. Put it in a drawer, and I say, make it pretty.
They love you at the comic book shop. They're like, yeah.
I want to touch every comic.
That's that guy with amnesia.
Right.
We love him.
Right.
What's new this week? Everything.
But that's how I want to live my life. This is like, I feel like Jason Aaron's run is becoming just epic. It's becoming like a legendary X-Men run. I'm starting to really have that feeling.
Yeah, I love the fact that he can, you know, have Wolverine running this, and it feels like so much is always going on in these comics, which is great, but you do get a lot of time with individual characters, so when you have these moments where people leave or people... you feel it just because there's still... You have enough investment. It's not just what's going on.
Even when you cut to a character named Dr. Starblood, who's like looks like he's a giant clay monster, you're like, cool.
Yeah.
I will say, I agree with everything you guys said just now.
You always say that.
I do. But my only little quibble with this issue is one of the things that's been so wonderful about the series, super easy to jump in all the time.
Right.
And
just
this
like
is
a big pool.
Yeah. Yes. So it's been a comic that I feel like I can recommend to everybody because every single issue you can jump in, you don't necessarily need to know the continuity. Even when it's the second or third issue in an arc or anything like that, it's very accessible. This is a less accessible issue of this comic, and it's the only slight thing that holds it back for me.
Well, we're setting it up for a whole new story.
Oh, no, I know. Don't get me wrong. I love the art. Every single bit of the art. I love the storyline. It's funny. It's creative. It's exciting. It's dangerous. But at the same time, there's a lot of stuff going on here that's tied into stuff that happened previously.
I'll agree with that because I read the first, I think, three or four issues and then took a break and read this and I was like, yeah. Like, it was enough that like, Hellfire Club had been introduced.
Right,
and
right.
I knew all the characters, Brew, and, like, you know, all everybody. Yeah. So I was like, okay, I get it. But, it was a little bit, I had to do it took me a little bit longer. A little bit, I had to put my thing in shape.
for something that's a prologue issue, I wish there was a little bit more explanation of what's going on.
Explanation?
Yeah, with the letter X.
What if you created a series that was just explanation? That was just like just words and like, yeah.
Hi, I'm Wolverine, and I'm going to explain what's going on at the X-Men right now.
So I'm a killer who's running a school now, and there's this character named Eve.
Wait, let me back up. Mutants are...
Yeah.
Whoa. Let's take it back. Okay, the Marvel Universe.
I was going to say, I can admit that when I looked through this, I had no idea what was going on. I guess that's not a surprise.
Maybe we can explain it. Wolverine is a killer who's taken over this school and is running a small school.
You got to go further back.
Okay, cool. Wolverine is a... human who's a mutant who was found in the...
Hugh Jackman,
wait,
right?
Okay, no, you gotta go
Hugh
further
Jackman.
Back.
Hugh
Jackman's a sexy guy.
Yeah. Let's start where this all begins.
Hugh Jackson does musicals.
Was a great musical theater actor.
Oh, my God.
And then
he started a little movie called Swordfish.
But while he was touring with the musical, The Man from Oz. And then he was tapped to star in the movie, whatever,
as
an origin.
Okay, actually, I do need... I actually need to interrupt you because... Has anybody ever read about how they cast Hugh Jackman? Was somebody seeing Boy from Oz and was like, there, that's our Wolverine?
Yeah, well, there's that great number, Snickety Snickety Bub from The Man from Oz.
Oh, yeah,
classic standard.
I remember that.
Cole Porter, right?
I think Boy from Oz actually came after the first
that's
X-Men.
That's true.
Don't mess with our timeline.
Yeah.
I'm a big musical theater fan.
Yeah, clearly.
No, you are
that's
right.
The one
I do
thing
remember that.
About? Well, yeah. Why don't you say something we can make fun of?
I just said I'm a big musical theater fan.
All right, let's move on with our last pick. This is my pick, The Wake, number one from Vertigo Comics by Scott Snyder and Sean Murphy. Now, I've been looking forward to this issue for a while. This is something Scott Snyder's been on a roll with pretty much everything. He's been doing a great job with Batman. I feel like we're a little mixed about a Swamp Thing, but ultimately it turned out to be pretty
good.
American Vampire, great across the board. But it's really exciting here to see him creating a new world once again because he's been so enmeshed with Batman and the main DC universe continuity here. Here, this issue, the easiest way to explain it is it's essentially The Abyss, right? I mean, it's very close
Which is a movie from, what, 1990?
Something like that.
So
but
our younger listeners
it's very,
think you're very old.
Yeah. It's a lot like...
Waterworld?
Like a... I don't know if I would call it Shirley Temple. That's what I was looking for.
Shirley Temple?
Yeah, it's a lot like a Shirley Temple
movie.
Yeah,
Shirley Temple picture.
Yeah, a real... A talkie.
Yeah.
Yeah, say.
Kevin Costner's Waterworld?
It does feel water... Is it Waterworld-y?
No, it's a little more abyssy than Waterworld-y.
Okay.
But it follows this side. It's very straightforward, I think, in the setup.
Yeah.
But where it really shines is in Sean Murphy's art, which is great.
It looks
and
awesome.
Scott Snyder's characterizations, which give a hint, at least, that we're going to go much deeper into things. So we get a lone... We actually start off maybe in the far future somewhere where a girl is hanging out with a dolphin that a tidal wave hits.
Oh, it is in the far future. They say 200 years in the future.
Yeah. And she says basically like, oh, no, it's happening too soon. Yeah. Then we cut back to a scientist on her own. She's been working with whales. She gets sucked into this underground base, starts working with this team of
people. You
know. Sucked. Yeah. Yeah, like a tub draining.
Yeah, you know, sometimes the undertow is bad and you get sucked
and
in underground base. That's how it works.
It happens. Be careful, guys.
Working with
Summer's
a team
coming.
Of scientists who are all brought there under dubious circumstances and end up working with a being who might be from the under the sea, might be an alien. We don't really know yet. We only know they're very, very dangerous.
This strikes me, and I mean this is a compliment, as a straight-up like mid-90s action thriller movie. Because I feel like the
Dennis
Abyss,
Hopper is the alien in this?
Yeah, something like that, where it's very much... I just recently watched Prometheus again.
Yeah.
And when I was reading this, I was reminded of that, where
it's
like,
very...
Listen to all these... hear all these people, and they all have strong opinions.
You know what I think I liked about it? I think it struck me as, like, early Michael Crichton, almost.
Oh, yeah.
It's very much like that.
Well, I hope somebody says, hold on to your butts at one point.
Exactly.
It Hold on to your assholes.
I'll read anything Scott Snyder does. I love. Yeah. I mean, he's amazing.
Yeah.
So,
what'd you guys think about this book?
I just kind of flipped through it. The art is awesome, and that coupled with Scott Snyder behind it, it's like, yep, I'm
win.
I'm down.
Yeah. It's a great team, and also some amazing splash pages.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm looking through the art right now. I'm also super impressed by the art. I've not had a chance to read it, so I don't know if the story will capture me, but.
Yeah, I thought it was great setup. Very interested to see where it goes. This could be a movie
Absolutely. I really, it feels like his movie pitch. I mean, that's essentially what it is. I'm curious to see where it goes because it's a 10-issue series. There's clearly a lot more going on. 10-issue. Yeah.
Because this issue reads like it's like a 4 or 6-issue series, I think. So the fact that it's 10 makes me think there's going to be a lot more going on.
Totally.
We're going to find out what's going on.
I'm pretty excited. And Scott Snyder has shown that beyond Batman, beyond Swamp Thing, beyond American Vampire, things like Severed, that was one of my favorite limited series,
really,
I think, ever.
Really fucked up series.
Yeah, that he could really create things that are very unique in a limited series format. So I'm very excited to read the rest of it. All right, and that's it for the staff.
Yeah.
All right. All right, guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section, because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to go to Boothman.
Boothers.
Hey. What's up?
Hey.
Yo. Hey, Boothers. What's up, man?
Not much. My name is Boothman. Not the other thing Alex said at the beginning of the show.
James.
No.
Don't you mean James?
Nobody calls him that.
No, you're like Wolverine, who we found out was called James Howlett.
That's true.
The third. Yeah.
Not Logan.
Not Logan.
What if my name's actually Logan?
You wish.
Logan James.
Huh?
Anyways.
Just wanted to quickly say, people's questions who we pick also are going to get a copy of his comic as well.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
The Devil's
if you ask, Devils do
in Dreary.
In Dreary, yes.
You host this show, right?
Not so much.
Let's get a question.
Not so much. If Miles Morales can turn invisible in a fight, why doesn't he just stay that way all the time?
Ooh.
Yeah. This was question.
Asked by a very sad person.
It's asked by someone sitting at that empty table right there.
Yes.
Oh, who can invisible. Turn invisible
if
all the time.
You can be invisible, why would you not be invisible all
invisible
the time?
I'm invisible all the time.
So Miles Morales, new Ultimate Spider-Man. He has other spider powers other than Peter Parker's Spider-Man did. He could send out electrical shocks a little bit.
Stinks.
But he could also... Yeah. Camouflage himself so that he looks a little bit invisible. So what do you guys think? If you could be invisible all the time,
I think
you'd
get lonely. I think that's the answer.
I think it would just be a brain drain to be like, all right, I'm punching and I'm also stay invisible.
Like
I feel like that
muscle.
Would just be like a lot
to keep.
I'd just be like, fuck it, let's just kick
How
ass.
Are you at multitasking?
Not great.
Clearly.
Not great.
Clearly.
Not
If
great
I'm
going
to fight,
it.
I'll be like, you know what? I'm going to focus on the invisible thing. And then I'll sneak in a punch or two here.
Right.
And there.
I don't know. I just, yeah. I mean, it's also like not superhero-y.
To be invisible?
Like.
To just leave?
To just be like, whoop.
Yeah. Later.
That guy was cool.
Yeah. He could have helped us.
What do you think, Daryl? Would you want to be invisible all the time if you could?
I mean, all the time, absolutely not, because I feel like I'd like to be the center of attention, but. Certainly the juvenile side of me would like to be invisible some of the time so I can hear what people have to say about me and about other things.
Oh, how vain of you.
So you would like show up to somebody's house and be invisible and then maybe be like, talk about this guy.
What? Yeah, just whisper. What's up with Daryl?
Hey, what do you guys think about Spider-Man? What do you guys think about Spider-Man right now? Is that Spider-Man?
Yeah. Pete, what would you do? Would you be invisible?
No, I wouldn't want to be invisible all the time. But
it sometimes.
It's pretty sweet.
Because you would just pull a bunch of pranks on people?
Yeah, pants people all the time. That would be awesome. Sweet.
But they would be like, man, I smell stinky slippers. Pete LePage is about.
Oh, come on.
Huh? You know, you wouldn't need paper porn if you were invisible some of the time.
Oh.
Interesting. Wait, because you'd be like a pervert? You'd be
voyeur.
I wouldn't be a pervert, but the opportunity would be there.
That's the most animated you've been so far on the show. You were like, you know what you could do if you were invisible? You wouldn't need porno.
Oh, you wouldn't need porn. I thought you said wouldn't have to pay for cord.
Wow. Yeah, man. Drive up to the silo. Go invisible and steal the corn from the silo.
I could just imagine sitting at home about to enjoy a sweet corn on the cob. And then, boop, it's gone.
I didn't even have to pay for this.
Zalbert!
Oh, Stinky Pete.
I had it all buttered and salted up like I like it.
Yeah. The free food.
All right, raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics, including The Devil Is Due in Dreary. Let's get the next question, please.
I really like the idea of Alex just stealing corn in general.
Yeah.
I love corn.
You love it.
The corn grabber is stuck again.
If I could have some of that Mexican corn with the queso on it.
Oh, yeah, that sounds good.
A little bit of chili, a little lime.
Yeah, nice.
Stinky Bee and the Corn Thief.
Yeah.
Add it again.
The new feature film.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson. What superhero should he play on film besides himself?
On film? Not digital, but
digital,
film.
Digital, yes.
They were talking 35
16 millimeter black and white grayscale.
Yeah, probably a guy with mustache who's twirling it and tying girl to train tracks.
Tying girl to train tracks guy, yeah.
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 His musculature.
I'm The
version.
Rock. She?
Who's the best Rock? I guess did it say hero or villain or anything? It's hero.
Superhero.
Hero. I think Colossus. I know it's like I think he'd be badass as Colossus.
What would you think? This is also not a hero, but what would you think about him for Thanos?
That's cool. I mean, they would have to do so much digital screwing around because he needs the purple chin wrinkle.
He also doesn't seem very sinister.
Digitally. Yeah, other people be better.
We spent $300 million to give him a digital purple chin.
Or like a bunch of putty or something.
How about him as Captain Marvel?
That'd be good. He's been rumored for a while to be Black Adam.
Black Adam would be.
But that would be the villain.
Yeah, he would be good. He would be good.
Yeah, he has the hairstyle.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see him. I see him as a villain. It doesn't work as much for, like, Thanos is like such a, I just don't, it doesn't work for me.
Yeah, he's almost, he has that kind of nice guy. He almost.
Yeah.
I like the idea of glasses.
I thought it was great
in G.I. Joe. Yeah.
How's his Russian accent, though? Would he be able to say Tovarish correctly if he was Colossus?
Katya?
Well,
he can work with his speech coach for years to get that. I mean, there's never going to be a Colossus standalone movie, probably. So,
come on. Okay. Come on.
Sorry, guys. Yeah.
Colossus for X-Men Origins Colossus.
Oh, yeah. The villain can be Cypher. What a great film.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, the villain could be that tractor that he saves Ilyana from.
Yeah, great stuff. Or maybe the villain could just be like a very difficult painting.
I love it.
Our writer's block or artistic block.
You just
block
can't
is
get
this.
The watercolor just right.
Yeah, I'd love to see The Rock paint some stuff. Raise
I don't
your
know
hand
if
you
we answered that, but I think we're done.
I think we nailed that pretty well. Raise your hand if you asked that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question, please.
What is your favorite recent plot point that is a huge spoiler for people who had not seen it yet? Wait, I think whoever wrote this is a
someone wants
dick.
To hear some spoilers.
Favorite spoiler?
Oh,
boy. I mean, probably talk about Game of Thrones or something.
Game of Thrones is the biggest thing. I mean, are we going to talk about that in Week in Geek, though?
Maybe. We might.
Let's wait and talk about that then, because I'm sure we all have something
we
to say
could,
about that.
I don't want to spoil it, but we could talk about Khan and Star Trek.
That was not a... That does not count as a
good
spoiler.
Oh, okay. All right.
No?
That was a dumb spoiler.
Yeah. What about
the villain
Mandarin?
Was Khan.
We could talk about
that's
Mandarin.
A good spoiler, but everyone kept that secret pretty well.
Why was this?
In Iron Man 3?
In Iron Man 3,
oh,
the Mandarin
yeah,
is
that was a good one.
Secretly an actor named Trevor.
Yeah, what a great look. Because I love the marketing for that movie. The villain is Mandarin. It was like, it really set it up really well. Uh-huh. And then just totally.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah,
some people got really mad
move.
About that.
Risky
what about
move?
In Fast 6, there's a bunch of cars. Spoiler.
That's true.
Boo, 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 boo.
The Crying Game.
Yeah, the Crying Game.
Another fresh ref.
He's a man.
I've actually never seen that. So
He's a man.
Oh, yeah. He's a man? That doesn't
seem
like a man.
She's a man. She's a man.
Oh, she's a man.
Yeah.
He's a man seems like a pretty obvious
thing. Yeah. I am what you think I am.
I like how someone asked a question. It's like, can you guys be dicks? And you're like, all right, let's do this, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Finally a question that speaks
comics,
to our strengths.
And this was kind of a mile away, but the Daredevil.
Oh, yeah, we could talk about... We didn't actually talk about the last issue of Daredevil, did we?
We did, awesome. And I don't think we spoiled it, though.
Right, yeah. But Bullseye is the guy pulling all the strings.
Yeah.
So, spoiler.
Yeah.
Is that what you wanted?
Yeah. There you go. Are you not detained?
That was awesome. You read that?
Yeah, that was great. I thought that was just cool, and it was like, yeah, makes sense and badass, and that whole issue
was also
a
great setup where he was like, he busts in there, he's like, what's your plan? And then he's like, to get me, fuck. You know, such a cool reveal. Yeah,
it was a little bit of a little telegraphy when it's like, circles in circles.
There's a scene in Daredevil where Daredevil's tried to figure out who has been pulling all of his strings, and he just writes down a bunch of names on a paper in some circles, and then he looks at it and realizes it's a bullseye.
Yeah. So he doesn't look at it.
But,
drop the mic and head out.
Yeah. Well, for those of you listening at home, Winston just disappeared into a puff of smoke.
Yeah. I think he just
invisible.
Turned invisible.
I'm back.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. Cool. But otherwise, great. And I actually chatted with Mark Wade about it briefly when I was in Chicago. And I threw out my theory. This was before the issue came out. Yeah. I thought it was going to be Stick was the guy pulling all the strings. And he said, I like that theory, but I only put Stick into the last issue. I would never just throw somebody in there randomly. If you look back, the clues are there in the first issue.
Oh,
so
sweet.
If you read through his whole run, apparently there's clues.
I would totally
to bullseye.
Do that.
There are bullseyes everywhere. One of those, someone has Lyme disease. You can see the bullseye pattern on their skin.
So I was reading that Far Side comic with the deer with the bad
bullseye
birthmark.
All right there.
There's Merida from Brave is there.
That's right.
So a lot of stuff.
Really, you look back and you just wonder.
Now I feel like an idiot.
I feel like a real idiot.
I did. Cool. I went back to the first issue, and if you look in the background, someone's playing darts, and then they yell bullseye.
Yeah, that's a that
is that true?
Right in the nose. No, that's not true.
They yell, Bullseye is the villain behind all of this. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics.
Yeah.
And let's get the next question.
Have comic books ever gotten you a date?
Huh.
Big pause.
Hold on. Wait, you're going to have to clarify something. What is a date?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. You have a daughter, right?
I don't know how.
Tangentially, comic book date.
I think it's hurt me more than it's helped me ever.
You think?
Really?
Why?
How so?
I remember when I first started dating somebody, and then they found out I had a shitload of comics in my apartment. They were like, "Awesome, great." Another guy with a lot of white boxes in their apartment. And I was like, "Yep."
What does that mean?
Sounds like she dated like someone who kept body parts.
What's the difference?
The white boxes.
What about you, Daryl? Well, you're not a comic book fan.
But I think when I was 13, I'll age myself here, the original Michael Keaton Batman, I was a Joker fan, so that made me a dangerous 13-year-old, and it did score me a date with a girl at my sleepaway camp.
Because you wore white face paint and scared the shit out of people?
No, I wore buttons that had the Joker on them, Justin.
Oh, very cool.
That's very
just
cool.
As cool. Buttons are very cool.
Buttons are very cool.
My girlfriend, when we met, we met at a New Year's Eve party and talked and talked and talked, got super drunk, and at one point she was like, said something and basically mentioned the Cannonball Special, or what's the...
Yeah,
and I was like, I love you. I was like, you're amazing, you're amazing, you're amazing. And then, it came out later. She was like, yeah, I really liked you, and I could tell that you like comic books, so I said, the thing that I knew.
It's amazing that she knew that.
I
don't want to get too personal. Does she throw you in bed?
we invite a Russian man over, and he throws me at her.
Oh, man.
And I'm like, yeah, Cannonball Special! Yeah.
Now, that's something The Rock could really do.
Yeah,
really
we keep trying to get The Rock involved, but he won't answer my emails. So.
Yeah, oh, weird.
I have his email.
Bedroom.
What about you guys? I really can't think of...
No, I'm only hindered by... I honestly probably have 2,000 comics in my apartment now, and my girlfriend's like, honestly, that's a problem. Like, she... She had to say it truly seriously, it makes you look crazy. And I guess that's true. I don't know.
It definitely is true because you have mounts of random piles of comics.
Mine are
and
up
you
to
you look like a crazy person.
My one corner, probably a fifth of my apartment, is stacks of comics up to my chest.
Oh my god!
And I'm of average height.
It's hoarder-ish.
Yeah.
Like if they were newspapers, you'd be a nut.
I know.
Right?
Fortunately, they're so colorful.
A tangential story.
I
put my girlfriend's cat. I had her drawn into the comic book, into Dreary issue number 4, so you can find a little cat in maybe page 3 or 4.
And that must
that would be my girlfriend
once or something.
Well, we do live together, Justin.
Yeah, great. So tell me how that works.
Cool. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics.
All right.
And let's get the next question.
If the Beyonder kidnapped all the Marvel heroes to fight the Cola Wars, who would be on what side and who would win?
The Cola Wars?
Yeah, you know what those are, right?
Oh, we do.
Yeah. Oh,
we
yeah, absolutely.
Fire. Rock yeah, and Rock and Roll the Cola Wars. That will be on the podcast that I do sooner than later.
Billy Joel.
So who would be Coke and who would be Pepsi?
So it'll be like DC and Marvel, right?
I think you're right. I think it would fall.
Who's Coke and who's Pepsi?
Marvel's Coke and DC's Pepsi.
What?
Right?
Really?
No, other
don't
way.
You think?
Totally other way.
Well, Coke is clearly better.
Yes.
What?
Whoa. You like Pepsi?
Yeah.
Oh,
what's
wrong with you? About?
What?
Why would you like Pepsi?
Nobody likes
delicious.
Pepsi better. People, here's how Pepsi makes a lot of money. Coke isn't available.
Yeah.
Right.
This restaurant doesn't have it.
Right.
How
we
only
this anyway. College, we bought this college, and yeah. You can't serve Coke here.
We bought this college.
With Pepsi.
We gotta stop this singing bullshit.
Hey, come on. It, you know, it's...
Growing up a Mets fan, RC Cola was the only thing you could drink at Shea Stadium.
Wow. It's the image.
RC Cola's image.
Yeah. Image.
Maybe Arcana.
Yeah. Something.
I don't know.
Jolt Cola?
I mean,
Jolt.
I will
That's
say, like, I would think Superman, I would think, would crack open a Coca-Cola and sip it down.
That's yeah. true.
Very American.
Very American.
Captain America, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think
everyone
maybe
would,
it's more
everyone
of like,
would drink Coke.
Yeah, to figure out Pepsi, we just have to figure out who sucks and then work backwards.
Right.
Oh, my God. Really? Boom. Nobody else thinks Pepsi's better? I'm the only guy. Wow.
Honestly, no.
Equal.
Equal.
That's even worse.
That's even crazier.
No, God. Are you dead?
What? Yes. I am. I'm sorry.
Well, spoiler, Boothman's dead.
James is dead.
Oh, sorry.
That's why we call
him. No, stop calling him that.
All right, sorry. We got any more questions, Boothman?
No.
No. All right.
Then that's it for your audience questions. Thank you, James. All right, guys, we're going to move on to our next section of the Week Geek, sponsored by Tours for Fun.
Tours for
sponsor. Fun. Yeah, we got a new sponsor. Pretty excited about this. Tours for Fun is an organization. They take you on superhero tours throughout New York City. So they'll show you things like where the Avengers fought, the battleground on the streets of New York City, Batman, the former offices of Park Avenue offices of Bob Kane and Will Eisner, Spider-Man locations, Fantastic Four locations. The Flatiron Building, where the Daily Bugle was, and many, many more, which is very cool. And we, in the Week of Geek, are going to give you guys two tickets to the New York Superhero Walking Tour, totally free.
Yeah.
So how are we going to do this, Justin? Are we going to do this? I'll tell you what. This is my idea that nobody liked. But my idea was, what are we going to talk about first in the Week of Geek? If somebody could figure out what we're going to talk about in the Week of Geek, big news item in the Week of Geek... Something that happened in
the
news relating to comic books.
No.
Anybody, raise your hand.
The protests in Turkey.
No. Good, somebody great. In the audience.
Yes.
Game of Thrones. You got it! There you go. You are going on Tours for Fun. Enjoy.
Just you go to the website and enter in that code, and boom, you are going on tour.
Yeah, and there you go. For the rest of you, you can also do Tours for Fun. Tours are booked, and they're $35, which is pretty cheap.
Yeah, it's cool. Very fun.
So let's talk about Game of Thrones. Everybody just left because they're scared of spoilers. But
they honestly did leave, huh? Yeah. Come on, you haven't.
Do you guys all watch
yet?
Game of Thrones?
I read the books. I haven't watched the. I read the books.
Cool.
Read the books.
Boring.
I haven't watched the series yet because I read the. I like binged on the books.
Yeah,
and
we
like,
get that you read the books
because I read. I'm like a reader. I'm like a reading guy. I'm a pretty smart guy.
What a member of the literati. You
no,
are.
But I. Yeah, so I haven't watched it. But then I heard that the Red Wedding was coming. I heard everyone was like freaking out. I was like, yeah, it must be the Red Wedding. So.
Yeah. I got to say, it's pretty amazing that everyone has kept the secret this season. So far that most people were so shocked. Everyone I know that has watched it and hasn't read the books was crying. And to talk about the way they did it on the show, it was really very blunt and horrifying.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, we're dancing around spoilers, and I think we probably should because I'm sure there's some people who haven't quite watched it yet.
Yeah.
But, you want us to just say it?
Oh, no!
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to get it from...
Yeah.
From
sure.
The horses
no,
yeah.
Go for it.
You guys look so excited right now.
Now, so this is the thing for the books. This is like the big event of the books. There's this thing called the Red Wedding where some of the main characters go to this wedding. You think they're safe. You think they're fine. And then they all die. Pretty much all of the main characters. Like
well, and not even... No, not... I mean, the characters that you're behind, the characters that you think are going to save the day. And I think that points to the sort of the heart of George R. R. Martin's whole thing with Game of Thrones is that it's like, oh, yeah, you like Lord of the Rings? Where, like, everything works out and it's all fun? This is not that fucking...
This
thing.
Is life. Yeah. I read an interview with him today where he's like, yep, I set up tropes from fantasy novels and been like, nope, life is messier than this and I want it to be realer. And so it's like, yeah, the people that you think are going to be the heroes. I mean, the crazy part about in the books, guys, in the book.
Oh, here we go. God. Okay.
it happens like halfway through the book. You're just like, holy shit.
It's very
depressing. And it just like, and then there's more stuff that happens. That's the crazy thing. Like, and then the next book is even, it's like, it is, that the amazing thing is, and this definitely feels like nobody.
No one saw it coming.
It's like nobody's safe. Yeah. Nobody is safe.
And also what I like about anybody. It is any character that is just like naively honorable is just dead. Just at some point will be murdered. The only characters who really shine in the Game of Thrones universe are characters that sort of get it and have been punished by the world.
Totally. And it was great. They completely nailed it. But let's move on. Let's talk about some comic book movie news.
This Everyone can come back who is out there. We're done talking about Game of Thrones.
So, a thing happened late today.
No, spoil it! Spoil it now!
No, we won't. We won't do any more spoilers.
So, we've heard rumors about this for a while, but I guess this is cropping up again. But Fables has been optioned for a movie series by the producers of Harry Potter, which I think is a kind of perfect fit. What's your opinion on this, Daryl? Do you know Fables at all?
I don't know Fables. I do know Harry Potter.
So, the idea of Fables is it's all the characters from storybooks have been forced out of their homes by an unknown adversary, and they're all living in New York City together. So Snow White, Big Bad Wolf, who's a detective called Bigby Wolf.
It's a bit like Once Upon a Time, if you know that TV show.
But
except in a city. That's in like a town.
And not god-awful. And not having really weird opinions on adoption.
Yeah, that's true.
But what kind of sucks about this is like Fables was supposed to be a TV show, and then they didn't do it, and then they put out two shitty versions of Fables. And now there might be a movie.
I know people are going to be like, oh, like Once Upon a Time instead of like Fables, which, you know,
it just didn't move fast.
It sounds like it has a bit of an edge, obviously more so than Harry Potter. Like, it's in New York, and, you know, you're taking your favorite characters.
Yeah,
and
it's adult. That's true. I mean, it is. There's a little
sexual,
a little violence.
I love the Fable series, so I'm excited about it, but I'm a little nervous about how
it feels weird as a movie because it feels like it's too big for a TV budget. Like, when you see it, you're like, whoa, holy shit. They're in, like, woods, and they're fighting ogres and stuff. But it doesn't feel like it's going to work storytelling-wise in a movie.
Well, I mean, the main story took 75 issues to tell, so that's a lot.
Right, yeah.
That's a lot of content. But I think you could boil that down a bit and sort of just get right into, like, setting up your main characters, revealing who the adversary is at the right time, and moving to that storyline.
Yeah.
In a cool way.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited for Bill Willingham. He's an amazing guy, and his writing's fantastic. I just hope it isn't like, here, let me take this and ruin it for you.
I mean, you're a huge fan of Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters, so maybe it's just like that.
Yeah. I've seen the movie. I liked it, so fuck off.
I said you were a fan of it.
Cool. We're going to move on.
I was complimenting you.
Another little piece of news that came out today. Benicio del Toro has signed on to play an unknown part in Guardians of the Galaxy and reportedly multiple Marvel movies.
Ooh.
Now, we don't know exactly who he's playing at this point, but I have a little bit of a suspicion.
It's Groot.
I have a guess. I think Benicio del Toro is playing some sort of a mumble mouth. That's what I think. What do you guys think?
I saw maybe Doctor Strange, that he's like do a quick cameo and then be Doctor Strange in another movie. Yeah.
Oh,
that would be awesome if in the middle of the movie they're having a big fight in space, Benicio del Toro pops in and it's like, whoa, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Pops out.
What
it
about
certainly
Rocket?
Seems
and he says
Doctor
like,
Strange.
Drummer movie.
I saw that announcement today, and I don't necessarily know what character he's going to play. I did hear a funny side story about Benicio del Toro for his audition for Usual Suspects. Mm-hmm. So that was originally written to be like an old Jewish man, and he somehow wound up in the casting room, and he kind of read through the part and was like, yeah, this obviously isn't me. So he walked in and he said, I have my own take on this part. Can I just try it? And Bryan Singer was like, sure. And he just mumbled. And it was a really small role. And after he left, Bryan Singer was like, I need to write that part. And basically, like, got rid of the old Jewish man and wrote that part for Benicio del Toro.
That's pretty weird.
Wow.
I love the way Marvel's going about this. They're casting every actor in this movie.
Yeah.
So it's perfect because everyone's a fan of some actor.
It's a wide net.
That way that everyone will want to come see the movie. If every single actor ever is in it, then it's perfect.
There you go. Last thing to talk about, DC announced that they're going to be doing in September Villains Month. 2 years ago, they rebooted their whole universe in September, had new number ones. 1 year ago, they had zero issues that flash back to the beginning of those characters. Now, for 1 month, they're going to replace all the main characters with the villains. So what do you guys think? Is this a good stunt? Are you excited about this?
Nope.
Cool. Yeah, Justin, what about you?
Yeah, it seems interesting. I'm surprised they're adopting the decimal point numbering system for these issues, which has been a big thing at Marvel, which they, I believe this is the first time they've done that.
Yeah, that's true.
That's pretty interesting. I like these line-wide things. You get some good stories, and hopefully you get to see some characters you haven't seen for a while. A lot of new characters being introduced. What? Cyborg, Superman.
Can I just mention something about the decimal point thing? So. Yeah. For those of you who don't know about this, Marvel has done this for a while where they've had 0.1 issues. And so DC is doing the same thing where instead of it being a zero issue or a number one issue, it's Batman 23.1, The Joker, or something like
that.
Yeah,
and it'll have Joker written over to the Batman.
And from a software perspective, that implies an incremental improvement, but just mainly some bug fixes, right?
Great.
Which feels like maybe it's Love not it. The implication you want to go for with that sort of thing. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there.
Have you guys seen the covers? Did you guys click through the covers?
Oh, that's another thing, yeah.
Batman's in chains in every single one of them. He's they're 3D. But if you look at the Batman ones, he's literally in the background, tied up or in chains in every single one of them. So I'm kind of like, is this a group picture that they've just cut up?
Angles.
Or is it all like... My plan is to put Batman in chains.
Okay, Joker, we're going to get your picture now. Batman, look over here. I know you're in chains, but look over here.
The main crux of the events is in Gotham, there's a discount on chains for 1 month only.
Yeah. Yes. It's like the Purge.
Yeah,
get all your chains.
don't sell those chains, man.
Just think about all the good the Purge does.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. All right, guys, that's it for the Week of Geek.
Yeah. Was that a subtle The Purge plug?
It was.
Wow, very cool.
We're going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because Pete makes it up.
What?
It's trivia. And for that, we're going to go over to Pete.
Peter Payne.
Hey.
All right.
The new favorite section. That's exciting. Guys, this is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like $25 free? A simple raising of the hand. $25 free.
It's really that easy. If you would like to walk up on stage and get $25,
please do. Over here. I'm looking over here. When you
two
guys want
sitting over there.
All right, come on. Yeah. It's all right, dude. This is your day.
All right.
You're winning huge. What is your name, sir?
Mike.
Mike, audience, Mike.
Hi.
Magic Mike.
All right, Mike, how this is going to work is this trivia is this
Mike Wazowski from Monsters, Inc.
Mike Wazowski.
I get that a lot.
I bet. You look just like him.
It's the first name.
It's that one eye that you have. All right, anyways, so how this is going to work is all these questions are about comics that came out this week. I'm sure you've read all the comics, so you won't have any problem with this.
All of them.
I'm going to read you a question and listen to all three possible answers. Get all three of them right, and you win $25. What's hard about that?
Nothing.
Exactly, Mike. I love that attitude.
What's hard about that?
All right. Here we go. Question number one. In Savage Wolverine number 5, who does Wolverine stab through the top of the head as well as the side of the head at the same time? Is it A, the Hulk, B, a gorilla, or is it C, DJ Jazzy Jeff? So it's either A, the Hulk, which is what you should pick, or B, a gorilla.
But it's definitely not DJ Jazzy.
Yeah, it's definitely not.
I don't know. So, where's he been lately?
I'll go with A.
A is correct.
All
right. Fun fact, it just put him to sleep for a little bit, and then he woke up. All right. In Fury Max number 12, what does Barracuda kick at Pugs' chest? Is it A, a grenade, B, a decapitated baby, or C, Uncle Phil? So it's either A, a grenade, or B, the gross answer.
Is it B?
B, yeah! Because it's Fury Max.
Nice. B
That's
for
where
baby.
The Max is. All right, here we go. Last question. In All Yeah Comics number 2, they have to defeat an evil cell phone. After winning a Tetris, what is the next level that they have to master? Is it A, Angry Birds, B, Subway Surfer, or is it C, the Carlton Dance? Is it A, Angry Birds, which is correct, or B, Subway Surfer?
A.
A is correct, sir.
Way to think about it.
25 $3.
Nice.
Mike. Awesome.
Gotta say, Pete mastered the Carlton dance from 90s show, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
After Earth, right?
That was the Carlton
dance. Yes, show After Earth.
Great. Great movie.
By the way, did anybody see that this weekend?
No.
Did you know Jaden Smith's character is named Cypher Rage?
Yeah.
Yep.
Which is incredible. I think that's my favorite movie name of all time.
I did see After Earth.
Real on the nose.
You did?
Yeah.
You did?
What?
Why?
I've been on a weird movie binge.
What did you think of it?
I'm sorry.
Oh, let's turn it over to Pete's shit movie corner.
I saw Fast and Furious 6. I've seen After Earth.
I heard that was awesome.
Hangover 3.
Oh,
I've been on a crazy
So you have a lot of disposable money, is what you're saying.
Yeah, clearly.
No.
Did you see them all in one day after you jumped from theater to theater?
Maybe that's what happened.
Yeah. That's the only reason anyone saw After Earth.
No. Cool. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Oh, Lock and Key number 5.
But also Daredevil End of Days, the last issue I'm very excited about.
Oh, nice.
I totally forgot to mention, actually. I read Lock and Key number 5.
What?
Yeah, wait. No, I'm not doing this to brag. This is, I don't want to say which one of you. One of you may have survived into this issue.
I didn't die on panel.
A giant boulder was falling.
I don't want to imply.
I may have turned and punched it. Punched it.
You can't punch it.
One of you may have survived, and one of you may have a totally awesome death.
Oh!
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not going to say anything, but Lock and Key Omega number 5. Check it out, coming out tomorrow.
Oh, shit.
What's your pick, Justin?
I think it's my living into Omega number 5 is the pick. That and also Winter Soldier number 19. Great comic that is unfortunately ending, and it's very, very good.
Cool. I'm looking forward to Empowered Animal Style is coming out tomorrow. Empowered is a great series by Adam Warren about a superheroine who gets tied up all the time and loses her powers. But it has really rich characterization. It's very funny. This one shot shows her going up against a sort of like Transformer mech guys who have animal robot suits. And basically kicking their butt. It's really funny, really exciting. And the thing that's so great about the series, even through these one-shots, is he's really been pushing the characters forward. Unlike a lot of series that keep their characters in stasis, he's allowed his main character to grow away from the parody that she first started at, which is really cool.
That's cool.
If you've never read Empowered, pick it up. It's awesome. Winston, what are you looking forward to?
Lock and Key. Nice. But that's a given. But secondary one is All New X-Men.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
It's a great book, and I like it, so I'll read it.
And plug your stuff. What should people check out?
Oh, yeah. It's Hear Me Out Podcast hearmeoutpodcast.wordpress.com. Just Google. We're also on iTunes, Hear Me Out Podcast. It's really fun.
It is
check
very
it out. Yeah.
Very addicting podcast.
Cool. Daryl, what about you? What are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to East of West number 1.
Yeah.
Basically, I was just, I want to support Image Comics. I thought that was an interesting way to do it. And, I want to know what's East of West.
It's actually really good. I think that's a second or third printing coming out because the first issue has come out already, and it's amazing. You should check it out.
Yeah. I certainly will.
It's awesome. And plug your stuff. What should people check out, Daryl?
Well, you should check out the Devil's Due Injury on Facebook. And also, anybody who emails me at daryl.frymark@gmail.com and likes The Devil Is Due and Jury on Facebook, I will send a PDF of issue number 1 of The Devil Is Due and Jury entice you to read the whole series.
There you go. That's great.
First one for free.
Free comic right to your inbox. You don't need a mailman for that, so it's fine.
There you go. A couple of things before we go. We want to thank our fabulous interns, Ebon Bell, Brandon Dannenhofer, Tom Radar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, Patty Tenicella, and Riley Trahan. Pete.
Friend us on Facebook so you get to hear about all of our amazing guests that we have coming up on the show. Also, check out the Big City Dare to Draw.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live and check out Tours for Fun for the New York Superhero Walking Tour.
Yep, you can also check us out at comicbookclublive.com and nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Winston for being on the show.
Thanks, guys. It's fun.
Daryl.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Boothman, who has no other name.
No Boothman.
And most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 7 p.m., totally free in New York City. Please tell your friends good night.
Thanks, everybody. Good night.